And of course, welcome to social media once again. I got my hat from Austria. Austria. All right. So let's start our teaching here. Regarding Mission Enterprise Bible School International Unity for Reformation. This is our first video. And I just want to open up here with Hebrews 9:10. And I didn't even put this on my notes. And I believe the Lord brought it to my attention. And I'll be teaching out of this verse down the road. And here in the Amplified here, it says, verse 10, it says, "For the ceremonies deal only with clean and unclean meats and drinks and different washings, mere external rules and regulations for the body imposed to tide the worshipers over until the time of," Amplified here, "setting things straight." King James, New King James has the word reformation. Now the Amplified has reformation also here, but it catches the Greek, which is setting things straight. It's got the actual word orthos in it. Orthos. We get the word orthopedics, orthodontist. Orthodontist concerning the teeth, and orthopedics concerning the feet. Of the complete new order when Christ, the Messiah, the last Adam, the second Adam, shall establish the reality of what these things foreshadow, a better covenant. I don't like the word covenant. It's a better testament. So that's my opening statement. So let's get into the primary teaching here. And I've got my French here too. But we're not doing the French tonight. We're just doing the English. We'll be doing all this in French also, because we also have a platform on Facebook concerning Entreprise Missionnaire Collège Biblique International Unité pour Reformation. So because we want to bring Reformation not only to the English church, but also the French church. And notice I said church. Now, yes, there are churches, like local churches, but there is only one church. There's only one church, one body, one Lord, one Spirit, one faith, one baptism. Gee, that sounds like the word to me that's found in Ephesians. And we're going to touch on all that another time. So let's start with the breakdown. Are you there? Breakdown. Yeah, you are. You are the breakdown of the main banner, which is what? Bible school. What does it say right there? No, that side. Right here. Okay? Follow closely. That's why I like to have the screen in front of me. I can do this. Right? Look. See? Well, my finger's out. I got to go here. All right. Okay. So what do Bible schools have to do with Reformation? What does that have to do with it? Well, I wrote here that the Bible school is the best environment. It's the best environment in order to promote true reforms or reformations, so that the students, those who attend the Bible schools, God's people, can foster accurate indoctrination and accurate theological mindsets once they are released into their respective callings in the body of Christ. These are all things I'm going to touch on. I'm going to unpack in other videos. We're just going through the overall general gist of this whole new platform that we're doing concerning Reformation. The next one is unity. Unity for Reformation. Where is it? Unity for Reformation. There it is right there. All right. So when it comes to Reformation, see, I don't even have to read my notes. I can read up on the screen there. See, that's why I like it better like this, right? So when it comes to Reformation, there's a great need for unity. Because the more people we have working together at bringing this Reformation to the church, this is great. This is like a teleprompter. The quicker we will get things done, as well as covering more territory. Yeah, that is so true. You know, this is a no-brainer. You don't have to be born again to know this. But You know, the more we get people going in the same direction, what do you think is going to happen? We're going to have a greater impact. Going to have a greater impact. You know, the devil knows how to... The devil is a genius at this. He's got all kinds of people working for him in different spheres of society. Yeah. And we need to get more people working towards bringing this reformation into the local churches, into the church, the body of Christ. All right? So let's move on here. Let's move on to, what is our next one here? I love this one. Going back to unity, I've done teachings on unity in the body of Christ regarding unity between the head of the church and his body. That's number one. Number one. Then we've got to bring unity within the body itself, among members. That's a challenge in itself, because everybody's got their own mindsets. But if we can get everybody to get his mindset, that's where true unity is going to come into being. And that's work in itself. That's my life. That's my lifelong, lifetime vision, is to bring unity in the body. That's a big part of Reformation. Okay. So the next one here, make it a little bit bigger. This is huge right here. This is huge. Make it bigger. Make it bigger? No? Okay. So it says here, as an apostolic reformer, defender of the faith, my overall vision for the whole church, not just some of the church, but the whole church, is to see the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ being reestablished in the fullness upon the earth before his return. Before his return. Is this in the way there? No. Okay. All right. So let me do the breakdown. Okay. Let me do the breakdown of this. Where's the apostolic? Okay. So, like it says here, we've had all kinds of reformers over the centuries. We're going to touch on that down the road. We've had all kinds of reformers over the centuries within the church, yet the ones that are most and greatly needed are apostolic. Apostolic. We've had a lot of reformers in the past that were not apostolic. They brought a certain area of reform in the local church or in the church, but they didn't bring the whole council. Since an apostolic reformer has in mind view the whole counsel of God, covering all areas of church and ministry life, leaving nothing out. Nothing. Leaves nothing out. We're going to touch on all this. There's so much to teach. So much to teach. And I've got the grace to do it. I've got the calling to do it. The Lord called me to this. He actually told me in 2008, he says, I want this fixed before I come back. Yeah. All right, next one regarding this, the breakdown of our ministry statement is defender of the faith. Defender of the faith. Defender of the faith. If you're going to be a true apostolic reformer, if you're going to be a true apostolic reformer, you... Get that thing out of the way. I'm reading my prompter. You will also be called to be a defender of the faith. Defender of the faith. The New Testament makes much about the faith. The faith. And not just faith. The Bible talks about faith, what faith does, what it is. But it also talks about the faith. Because there's other faiths out there. They're false faiths. They're erroneous faiths. They're wrong belief systems, systems of beliefs. But there's only one faith. It's called the faith. Emphatic the. The definite article, the faith. In order to defend the faith, you will need to have a clear, accurate understanding of what the faith really is. Yeah. And that is going to take us back into the garden, because that's where it all began. Regarding the original creation of mankind in context with the recreation of mankind. All right, next one is vision for the whole church. Vision for the whole church, not just some of the church, but for the whole church. Having a vision for the whole church, as in the whole body of Christ, is critical as well as mandatory, because the New Testament puts emphasis on the whole body, meaning each member and not just some parts of the body. We need to put emphasis on every member and not just its leaders. The Lord gave me this word quite a few years ago: too much emphasis on leaders and not enough on the body. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit, God Himself, indwells each member of His body and not just the leaders. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit wants to work through each and one of us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Next one here is the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. This, I look forward to teaching on this probably more than anything else. I'm excited about this. I'm actually excited about this teaching. So understanding, I wrote here, understanding the personal life of our Lord Jesus Christ is paramount. Paramount. Before we can truly understand His ministry. This is proven in the fact that Jesus did not start to minister until the age of 30. Keep that in mind. This is called formative years. Since Jesus had formative years, what makes you think you don't need formative years? Years of formation. Years to be formed into what God has called you to do and to be and to do. The doing comes after the being. You need to learn to be, and out of your being you will do, because it's not about you. I'm rhyming here, but it's not about you. It's about Him in you and through you. That's why the Bible says dying to self. Jesus said, take up your cross daily, follow me. Take up your cross, follow me. Yeah. Why did He say that? Because He's head. He's Lord. He wants to be Lord. Positionally, He's Lord over His church. Positionally, He's head. But in practicality, no way. He's not even near it. Because if He was, what we read in the four Gospels, what we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we'd see it today everywhere. We'd see it today. And we don't. It's not even near in our local churches, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not even near it. We're not even close to it. And we think we're okay. No, we're not okay. We got some serious issues. That's why we need reformation. All right, next one. Next one is what? Reestablished in its fullness. What? His life and His ministry. Reestablished. Most local churches, ministries, leaders, Bible schools do not believe that the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ needs to continue upon this earth. And it shows. They do not think that this is doable or possible. It is time that we reestablish, not establish, but reestablish again every aspect of His life as well as His ministry. Yeah, it's time, because we're running out of time. It was established by Jesus Himself. By the Father, of course, by the Spirit. But Jesus Himself, the head of the church, the second Adam, He established His ministry, His life and ministry, starting with His incarnation. Yet we lost sight of it in many different ways, for many different reasons, which is why I say it needs to be re-established. Established again. Re means again. So established again upon this earth. Last one here is before his return, before his second coming. That's what the Lord told me. He says, I want this fixed before I come back. I wrote here, we are running out of time. With each day, each week, each month, each year that goes by, all of us who are born of God will be held accountable on that great day. What great day? It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Regarding all of this, since all of us have a vital part to play in all of this, all of us, none of us will be exempt from giving an account. And the Lord gave me this. I'm just going to share it right here. In Hebrews 4, it says here, verse 13, and not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless, to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Give an account, all of us. Saved, unsaved, we're all going to give an account. I'll be teaching a lot on that too. Lots. On the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgments. I've done some teachings on that a little bit out of Omimi. But I'll be doing a lot more teaching on that, whether it's under this platform, Reformation, Unity for Reformation, or for the website. Anyhow, I'll be doing teaching on that. Okay. So, before his return. Okay, I read that, right? Okay, let's move on here to the next one. We have to bring back into our theological discussions the great need of great change. Not just change, but great change and of great reform. That's got to come back into our discussions. We have to. I look forward to hear the day where I start hearing leaders and I start hearing pew sitters, which really there are no pew sitters in the Bible, but the church is full of them today. To start hearing them saying, hey, you know what? We've got to do something different. I went through that years ago. Oh, God. I had such a dissatisfaction inside of me. I'd be sitting there in a service, a church service. Yeah. I'd be sitting there, and inside of me, I was so hungry for more of God, more. So hungry for change in my own life, change in my city. I had such a dissatisfaction to the point where I was kind of discouraged or even on the point of spiritually depressed. And God brought light in all of that, causing me to see that I was on the right track. And when you're at that place, that's what makes you stand out. Maybe not stand out in the public right away, but it makes you stand out with God, because that propelled me to pray more. And I was praying a lot. Well, that's why I was getting that. Because I was praying so much. But it propelled me to pray even more. It propelled me to spend even more time with Him, to hunger and pray more in tongues, get into the Word, reading good books, studying Greek, Hebrew, the whole thing. And that really, that's what you wanted. That's what God looks for more than anything else. That's where God has something to work with. God has hardly anything to work with in the church today. He has hardly anything, because everybody's just satisfied with the status quo. They're just happy to go to church and they give their offering, their tithes, whatever. Some don't, whatever. I don't believe in tithes and offerings either. I'm just saying that. And hearing a sermon, having some fellowship, having something to eat, and having a coffee, and then going home and watch a football game or something like that, or something worse. The church is full of that. You know, it's pretty sad shape. Especially what we're called the Army of God. We're in a war. Man, in Canada. Man, we are in a war. My goodness, we are, I'll tell you, we're up against some pretty mean principality in the government right now. And man, if the church don't wake up, I'll tell you, we can look like some of these third world countries in the next 20 years. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to get political on you guys, but I'll tell you, man, it's pretty sad out there. We got a pretty, you know, I don't want to get into that right now. So anyhow, let's go here. Theological discussions. Most Christians, including leaders, have no time nor take the time for serious theological discussions because of the great lack of proper theological formations in their own lives. You know, God began, He put me into the school, we call the school of the Spirit, right? He put me into Bible school years ago with my library. Started with one book, the Bible, but I started with one book, dictionary, a Greek book, whatever, you know. And over the years, it grew to thousands of books, 6,000 maybe, a little more or less. I got rid of a lot of them. But God put me into school, yeah, to renew my mind, to have a proper theological framework built inside of me, a theological infrastructure built inside of me, which helps me when I come across error, when I come across falsehood, when I come across wrong indoctrination, wrong interpretations, I can discern it. Boom! I mean, I got all kinds of red flags going off on the inside of me. I just see through things, not everything, but a lot of things. Oh, goodness. I mean, that's why I write so much. That's why we're going to be making so many videos, you know, to get that out there, to help people get free. Now, when Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Well, free from what? Free from error. You know, Jesus wants to set us free, make us free from error. So we can walk in the truth, so we can walk in union with the Spirit of the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. And God works with the truth. That's what Reformation's all about. Bringing the church back to the truth, or bringing the truth back into the church. It's all about. All right. Great change. I wrote here, change of theological and spiritual mindsets is key and number one step in seeing this great reform taking place in the body of Christ worldwide. We're going to start with my city. We're going to see some great things in the city of Oshawa. We're going to see some great things in this Durham region. We're going to see some great things in this province of Ontario, the nation of Canada. But I tell you, God has given me this world vision and international vision. And I'm heeding to it. I'm getting ready for it. And of course, my first trip to the great continent of Africa, and of course, Europe. And we're looking also into Asia. So anyhow, greatly needed a change of theological and spiritual mindsets. Yeah. Next is great reform. What it says in the teaching image there. Great reform, not just great change, but great reform. So I wrote here, great reforms are very doable as long as we do things God's way. God's way. Reformation begins with God and it ends with God, since He alone is the great reformer. I'll finish this here and I'll share. Wanting to bring reformations and reforms in His people, and then through His people, and for His people, all right? Reformation is not for the world. No, the world needs to get saved, but the church needs to get saved too, in soul, but the church needs reformation, all right? And the Lord gave me a word years ago, I think it was 2008, 2009, He says, reformation begins with God. So I knew I was on the right track because I was putting God above everything else, and I still do. But reformation begins with God. Because if there's one person who can bring reform to his own church, his own people, it's God. There's a lot of man-made reforms out there in the past and even today. I don't want to get into that right now. And it's not accomplishing what it should be accomplishing, because God is not spearheading those reforms. Or if He is, well, man's getting in the way. Flesh is getting in the way. And I'm not going to get in the way. That's why I finished another 40-day fast 3 days ago. I did 340 days last year. I did 340 days. I've been doing 340 days for the last 3 or 4 years. Before that, I was doing 40 days, 25 days, 35 days. But now, before I'm going back traveling, I'm doing 340 days a year. Getting rid of the old man, putting on the new man. All right, next one is rough weather. I like this one. Whether you like it or not, Reformation is coming to your church so that your church can become his church. Yeah, pretty sad. Church belongs to God, not to man. I heard this preacher, he's a prophet, I can't remember his name, and he said the word of the Lord came to him, and he was strong, and the Lord was weeping, and he said, I want my church back. Yeah, we'll be talking a lot about that. I want my church back. And the Lord went on to show this man, this prophet, saying that my leaders are getting in the way. My pastors are getting in the way. Yeah, the old man. Yeah. If you're pastoring God's church in the old man, you know what? Then you're pastoring it and not him. Because he's the pastor. He's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and all the gifts. All right? So breakdown. The breakdown of this image here. I wrote here, whether you like it or not, meaning, God will not force anyone to be part of this apostolic reformation, which is the last reformation the church will ever see, all right? Yet, he will hold all of us accountable on that day for not talking, not taking part in it, or for having rejected it or even talked against it. I see YouTube videos, not a lot of them. I mean, there's lots of them out there. I don't see them all. But there's guys out there teaching against Reformation. Yeah, not good. And they think they're doing God a favor. Not good. Not good. You guys better line up with the Spirit. You guys better start praying. Spend a little bit more time in praying. And a lot of these guys are cessationists. Yeah, King James only. Yeah, but cessationists. Most cessationists are King James only. And I like the King James. But I like the Greek better, especially the majority text. But these guys are talking against reformations. Not good. You're talking against the Spirit. Anyhow, that's your problem. I know I'm going to get a lot of flack. Because I had a word years ago over the telephone. A word of the Lord. A word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And the Lord told me, says, stay on the straight, narrow path. And he says, I'm preparing you for controversy. And what it is, I'm making you fit for the harvest, but I'm preparing you for controversy. Yeah, and he's been doing that ever since. And I'm getting ready for it. I'm getting my spiritual, what do you call those gloves? Boxing gloves? I'm getting my spiritual ones, not real ones. I'm getting my spiritual boxing gloves ready. Yeah, I'm getting fit, spiritually, getting fit. Yeah, okay, let's move on here. Reformation is coming. It's coming. And I wrote here, in many ways, as well as in many places, there is a reformation that has already begun in some parts of the church and world. Yet it is about to get much more intense and confrontational, since we still do have many errors in some of these movements that have attempted and are attempting at bringing reform to the church. Yeah, and I know who they are. Not all of them, but I know the big guys, the so-called big guys, and they're big too. Boy, they're big. They work out every day. They work out at the gym. Well, you know what? If I were you, I'd put the weights away. And I'd start doing some serious fasting and some serious praying in tongues and eating the Word. And I mean the New Testament. All right? Okay, last one here for this is to your church so that it can become His church. God wants to bring Reformation to your church, meaning whether you're a pastor, a leader, whatever, even an apostle, whatever, He wants to bring Reformation. There's no perfect church out there, but we need to become perfect in Him. And there's at least one area God wants to reform. So I wrote here, most leaders and pastors in the church are the first ones to say that their church is His church. I've heard that for years. This is not my church. This is the Lord's church. It's like, yeah, right. Okay, which is easy to say, easier said than done. But until Christ, who happens to be the head of the church, is formed in you, as well as in the rest of the members of that local church, it is not his, but your church. The day the Holy Spirit gets to govern a local church in all areas, then it will become his church. Yeah. Some of you are saying that's not possible. Well, that's because you don't know him and you don't know the word. All right. Okay, let's move on. Next one is, we have far too many ministers of a different or another gospel in our local churches. Reformation time. So, breakdown. Ministers of a different or another gospel. The moment you teach something that is not according to his mind or according to his will, or his interpretation of his word, you've just preached and taught a different or another gospel. Yeah. We need to preach and teach the gospel of Christ and God in all accuracy, made available via the word of God and the Spirit of God. No excuses. Jesus died and some. He didn't just die. He suffered, okay? Jesus went through everything he went through so that we can get saved, yes, but so that the Holy Spirit, who happens to be the same Spirit that we read in Genesis, the actual creator, the performer of the word, Jesus went through everything he went through at the cross so that he can not only recreate a sin and death nature, a dead spirit, spiritually dead spirit, but to recreate it so that he can come and dwell within that spirit. So that what? So that he can play Lego blocks? So that he can watch sports with you when you're watching sports? So that he can watch porn with you when you're watching porn? So that you can be doing things that are not pleasing to God? No. The Holy Spirit came to indwell you so that he can govern you, so that he actually can govern through you, so that he can actually live the life of Christ through your mortal body. That's where Jesus said, I'm going to touch on this later on in John 14, I believe, I will send another comforter. In my name, in my place, on my behalf, as my representative. Boy, it pays off confessing the Amplified. It just comes out of you after a while. It's great. I love it. Yeah, that's what he's been sent for. And we're going to give an account. You know what? Let me tell you something right now. This book is going to judge you one day. Now, he's the Word. This book we call the Bible, especially the New Testament. Yeah, some of you got a problem with me putting more emphasis on the New Testament than the Old. Well, that's your problem, because I'm post-cross. I'm not pre-cross. I'm post-cross. I'm on this side of the cross. Okay? I'm in New Testament saint. I'm not an Old Testament saint. Now, we can learn a lot. We'll learn. We'll get into the Old Testament, okay? Guaranteed. I'll be teaching out of the Old Testament, but I'll tell you, I'll be teaching a whole lot more in the New Testament. And you know what? This New Testament is going to judge you one day. I don't want to know what this New Testament says on that day. I want to know what it says now. And I just don't want to know what it says. I want to live it. But I can't live it. I can't. My old man can't live this. Only the new man can live this. And who is the new man? It's Christ, the new Adam, the second Adam, God's firstborn son from the dead. Yeah. All right? So that's why we need reformation. Okay? All right. Let's move on here. No excuses, I said. All right, let's move on. Let's get this wrapped up with. Next one here. I said here, first and foremost, what we need is a reformation and not an awakening or a revival. Well, I just upset half of you right now because everybody's looking for a revival. And God spoke to me about revival. Oh, yeah. He's used the word revival with me. He's used the word awakening with me. But he told the preacher, and I won't mention his name now. He told the preacher, and he talked to me about it too. Yeah. He told the preacher years ago. He said, I'm looking for more than just a revival. This guy was in Scotland, and he was with his students of his Bible school, and they're at the John Knox statue, the big John Knox. I haven't seen it yet. I look forward, and we're gonna make videos there when we go there. And he said, the Lord spoke to him, and he says, revival's fine, the whole thing, but I'm looking for more than a revival. I'm looking for reformation. Yeah, and he is. God is looking for reformation, and there's a reason for that. Bill Hall has a book. It's called Revival That Reforms. Yeah. So maybe we need a revival to get to reformation, but I'm going to skip the revival. I'm going to go straight to the reformation. Yeah. All right? So what we need is reformation and not awakening or revivals. Okay, I wrote here, as great as awakening and revivals are and can be, and they are. I've got a whole library full of books on awakenings and revivals, whether it's Welsh revival, whether it's, I've got books on revivals and awakenings in Europe and all over the place, in Canada, the whole thing. Yeah, I got the books. I used to read that stuff. I used to read that stuff more than the Bible. Yeah. But reformation is the key in seeing the church becoming the church according to his word. I believe in awakenings. I believe in revivals. I do. Yet reformations will outlast everything else if carried out properly. See, it's one thing to bring a reformation, but then you've got to carry it out. You've got to shepherd it. You've got to protect it. You've got to oversee it. Same preacher said that they had planted these churches years ago. This is years ago. They had planted churches. I don't know. I think it was in Asia. I think it was in Asia or Europe. And they went back a few years later, and they said most of those churches, they went liberal. You know what I mean by liberal? They went embracing liberal theology. I don't want to get into that now. I'm not afraid to talk about it. But they embraced liberal theology. So something went wrong. They went wrong. They didn't protect that. They didn't make sure that they were teaching the right thing. So the people that were planted with those churches, they must have not been very strong doctrinally to have been swayed to go liberal, because liberal is basically anti-gospel. It really is. If you understand liberal theology, it's anti. It's anti-gospel. It's anti-Christ, because you're teaching things that Christ never taught or taught against. All right? All right. So what's the next one here? Got it here. Oh, reformers and their reformations. Reformers and their reformations. I wrote here, if, can you bring that over? Okay. If we would take the time to study and research by the Spirit, that is key right there. By the Spirit, the lives of past reformers and their reformations, not all of them, but key ones, we could learn so much. Reformations are not something of the past, even though most, if not all of them, took place centuries ago. They did. Starting back in the 13, maybe 1200s. John Huss, John Wycliffe, a lot of these guys, way before Luther, 200-300 years before Luther. And even after Luther, there was reformers. William Booth was a reformer. He really was. If you study his life, that man wanted to reform everything that was wrong. And that's I've got that working in me. Everything that I see wrong, I want to change it. I want to reform it for the better. So William Booth was a reformer. And even in many ways, John Wesley was. But William Booth was a reformer. George Mueller. He had that working in him. He really did. If you understand the things they're passionate about. They're reforming all kinds of stuff. They're going against what a lot of the church was doing at that time. That's Reformation right there. I mean, in a good way, you know? So, okay, let's move on here. All right. So I wrote here, these types of teachings are all part of Reformation because they create a controversy. Because most local churches are not apostolic but simply pastoral, even if many of them believe in apostles, etc., apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, but do not act or govern themselves as apostolic churches and centers. And this is what must change. That is, what are the real reforms? So we got people out there, mostly, I guess, in the non-denominational, charismatic, Word of Faith churches. They all believe in apostles. They believe in prophets. They believe in evangelists, pastors, teachers. They believe in the gifts. But the way they go at it, it's not even near what they should be doing. Once a local church really gets a hold of or grasps what is an apostolic church, you know what? That building, because we're the church, that building is going to be open 7 days a week. It's going to be open 24 hours a day. Because I see myself doing things with our Bible school where we're going to have intercession. Just besides everything else, we're just going to have intercession every day. Interceding by the Spirit, not what we think, but interceding by the Spirit for nations, for our cities, but nations, to see God moving in those nations. To bring breakthrough. Yeah. 24/7, 365. That's my life. That's all I eat, breathe. That's all I care for. And then I'm out of here. For eternity. I don't get to do this again. You don't get to do this again. You better get it right. You better get it right. Because when you're in that day, the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah, you may have a repentant heart, but you're going to have a bunch of works burned up. A lot of works burned up. Loss of rewards because of your dead works. Doing good things, like the old saying goes, is that a good idea or is that a God idea? Well, the church is full of good ideas. Bad ideas too, but good ideas, but not God ideas. Because look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. Compare your local church. Compare your local Bible school, compare your local ministry, your Bible study, whatever you're part of, compare that to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? Compare. And if you're saying, well, we're nowhere near that, well, then you need reformation. You need reformation. All right. So, what did I just say here? All right. These types of teachings are all part of Reformation because they create controversy. You can't help it. You can't help but create controversy. I wrote here, you cannot help but have controversies when it comes to Reformation because you will be automatically challenging and confronting the status quo in the church. And I got that from the Lord himself. The Lord told me, I was praying one day and the Lord says, reformers challenge status quo in a church. He didn't say in the church, but that's what he's saying. I'm not going to reform. I'm not going to challenge status quo in the world. The world's the world. No, the church, the status quo in the church needs to be challenged. And it needs to be challenged by the Spirit. And it will be. I don't want to do anything in my flesh. Forget it. All right. I wrote here, most local churches are not apostolic, but pastoral. I wrote here, the majority of local churches are governed by pastors and leaders and not the full spectrum of the giftings and gifts found in the New Testament. Yeah. So these are all things I've touched on briefly in other teachings, but we're going to do a whole series on this, whole teachings on this. I'll tell you, we're going to roast your sacred cows. I'll tell you, I know, I'm not stupid. I've been at this for almost 25 years now. There are people in the city of Oshawa, pastors, that have known me for years. They know that I don't sin. I'm not into pornography. I don't chase after girls. I'm celibate. I don't masturbate. They know I pray. They know I'm in the Word. They know I study. They know I even fast. And you know what? They want nothing to do with me. That's the condition of the church. That's pretty sad. And that's their problem, because they're going to give an account of that one day. I don't care. I don't care. I walk by faith. I'm just saying. It's too bad. You know, I've been part of their churches. Yeah, and I left. And I'll tell you why I left. Because God said, get out of here. Get out of here. They don't see me in you. Get out. I got work for you to do. When I left the last local church, I won't mention their names. When I left, I was struggling for a year. After being with them for 3 years, I was struggling. I wanted to leave. I didn't even want to be there to begin with, for different reasons. And when I decided to leave, the Lord gave me a word. And I'll tell you what that word was. Maybe you're listening. Maybe you're listening. That word was, have I not called you to do great exploits in my name? And that kept on bubbling up on the inside of me. And then I heard, spend more time with me. Yeah, that was it. That was my exit. Hasta la vista. I was gone. I could go. Yeah, exploits. He didn't just say exploits, he said great exploits. And Daniel, it doesn't say great exploits, it just says exploits. And the Lord used the word great exploits with me. Yeah, okay. Where are we here? Last one? No, okay. Many of them. Who? Where are we here? Many of them. Yeah. Many of them believe in apostles, yet they do not act nor govern themselves as apostolic churches and centers. Most local churches I've attended, as well as I've been part of, as in charismatic, word of faith, Pentecostal, non-denominational churches, do believe in apostles and prophets, but this is about as far as it goes. Like I said before, they believe in it. They say they believe in it. You know, some of them are. Some of them aren't. They think they are, but they're not. You know, but they're nowhere near. Not even near. Not even near living that out every day. Not even near. Last one. This is what must change. This is what are the real reforms. Everything I just mentioned since the beginning of this video, everything. And I'm going to make notes of this, the things I added to the notes, and then we're going to be adding that to the YouTube video, and then I'll be teaching off all of that and so much more. Like I said, right there, and so much more that I'll be covering are the very things that must change in order to bring about real and true reforms. And I should say long-lasting reforms. Reforms that will last. That won't only last maybe 5 years, 10 years. No, there'll be a continuity to it. Whether the Lord comes back in 10, 50, I mean, I know there's people out there, they think the rapture is going to happen tomorrow. I feel sorry for you. There's post-trib, mid-trib, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. And I never bought into the pre-trib. And a lot of you are into the pre-trib. You're waiting for Jesus to show up and get you out of here before all the hell breaks loose on this earth. Well, you know what? That ain't going to happen. Now, there may be a mid-trib rapture, and that's okay. If it is, that's great. But I don't think it is. I think we're going to get raptured right before the wrath of God. God's going to pull his church out before he pours out his wrath, his indignation, his anger, his holy righteous anger upon this earth, the impenitent, the ones who rejected the gospel. I believe that's when we're going to get pulled out right before that. Yeah, I could be wrong. I don't teach on this. I'm just making a comment right now to maybe agitate you a little bit, you know, tickle you a little bit, you know. I'm already agitating you already. I'm supposed to keep going. You already hate me anyhow. I know you hate me. I know that. You'll never admit to it, but God knows your heart. You already hate me, so I'll give you a reason to hate me, you know. So if this pre-trib is not of God, then you're all in trouble. You're all in trouble because you're not going to be ready for the tribulation. You're not going to be ready. And I think it's starting to happen right now with what's happening in even our own nation, with the United Nations and all that, and what we've gotten for PM right now, and what he's doing and what he's been doing and what he's planning on doing. I got some stuff there I printed a few weeks ago. I've been printing stuff for quite a while. And the agenda for the United Nations in Canada. Yeah. 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 Not good. Not good. No, not God, that's for sure. And if it's not of God, it's not good. All right. So anyhow, I'm going to leave it up there. I'm going to wrap it up for now. And I want to thank you for your time. And thanks for putting up with me, I guess, if I can say that. But you know what? You can learn a lot from these videos. You can really learn a lot. And this platform, Unity for Reformation, because it's Missionary Prize Bible School International, I'm going to use this platform to really get into the Greek a lot. And of course, we're going to be doing videos for the website also. That's different, but it's going to be meaty too. A lot of meat there. But we're going to get into some heavy duty stuff concerning provision, concerning sonship, concerning mortification, transformation, concerning spirit, soul, and body, concerning the old man, concerning the gifts of the Spirit, concerning the five keys. I'm gonna let loose. Yeah, because I have his approval. And if you don't think so, that's your problem. If I'm teaching things out of context, feel free to correct me. But by the time I'm done, I'll be covering from Genesis to Revelation. Yeah. And I don't leave nothing. I don't teach anything out of context. And I don't teach things that I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't. I just teach what he's taught me. And I got lots to teach because he's been teaching me for a long time. So thank you for your time. Thank you for those who watch us on live stream. Thank you for those, you know, I don't call you my followers because I don't believe in having followers. But I want to thank you for those who from Africa, the great continent of Africa, and the great continent of Asia. I've got more of my contacts there and those two continents. And I'm believing God for great things here in North America because North America needs it. North America needs, the church needs reformation big time. So anyhow, Europe. Oh my goodness, Europe's a mess. Europe's a mess. You know, if the world has taken over your city, then you know what? The problem's not the world. It's the church. Because we're salt and light. We've got the armor. We've got the truth. We've got God. You know, they've got the God of this world. But we've got God. We've got the God of the Bible. We've got the God of miracles. We've got the God who raised the dead, who caused limbs to grow out, who gives sight to the blind, who causes the deaf to hear, who caused the mute to speak. God is the God of recreative miracles. And, you know, for the most part, we're out passing out tracts. And there's nothing wrong with passing tracts because I might get back into it a little bit, but I'll tell you, there's got to be power with it, because if there's no power, I'm not going back out there until there's power. And it's not God withholding his power. It's my unbelief, my wrong believing, my little faith, you know, because the power, the Bible says, Ephesians 3:20,